Hello and welcome to the Personnel Today Friday podcast. I'm Tara Craig and I'm joined by Kat Baker and John Charlton. Coming up, Kat Baker reports back from this week's Conservative Party conference in Manchester, where she took a look at what lies in store should the Tories win the next general election. John Charlton updates us on what's new in the world of pensions and looks at the role of HR in the implementation of personal accounts in 2012. And we listen to a clip from Expert HR's latest Outlook video with David Shepherd and Joe Stubbs. But first, the news. Royal Mail is set to enjoy a national strike after a majority of postal workers voted in favour of industrial action. The last national postal strike was in 2007, although strikes this summer have already caused a backlog of 20 million items of undelivered post. Research by PricewaterhouseCoopers has found that Scottish employees are angrier about pay cuts and freezes than workers elsewhere in the UK. While 8% of those polled across the UK were angry about cuts to their reward packages, the figure rose to 21% in Scotland. British Airways is facing potential industrial action after cutting the equivalent of 1,700 jobs, changing working practices and announcing plans to impose a two-year pay freeze for basic cabin crew without seeking union agreement. Kat, how was the mood in Manchester this week? You know, what have the Conservatives got up their sleeves as far as employment is concerned?
The mood was very upbeat and confident, actually, at the conference this week, especially compared to Labour's the week before. One of the big new policy ideas that came out of the conference was that the Conservatives want to scrap the government's New Deal and replace that with the Get Britain Working initiative.
Do you have any details on that, Kat?
Yeah, part of the Get Britain Working initiative is that the young unemployed who've been out of work for more than 6 months will be offered immediate help and assistance in getting back to work from that 6 month date, rather than having to wait 12 months under the current flexible New Deal. When I spoke to David Freud, the Shadow Minister for Welfare Reform, he told me that rather than using Job Centre Plus advisers, as we had expected, to provide this personalised and tailored support, the Conservatives would actually, in fact, use private providers instead.
Why are they unhappy with Job Centre Plus?
Well, Theresa May, when I spoke to her, said that throughout the recession, Job Centre Plus staff had actually struggled to cope with the amount of workload that they've got, and because of this workload, they're actually not providing the tailored and personalised support that the Conservatives are after for the unemployed. This is a clip of what Theresa May had to say after I chased her into a lift to ask her the question.
What I would say is that Job Centre Plus has had a huge increase in the number of people they've had to deal with. And they found it actually quite difficult to cope with that huge increase in the numbers. And they haven't been able to give the sort of personalised time to individuals that can be possible with the welfare to work providers. And, you know, we've had lots of anecdotal evidence about very limited time being able to be given to individuals by the personal advisers, purely because of sheer force of numbers. So the providers, I think, can give a much more personalised approach to individuals.
And so would you then look to kind of scale back Job Centre Plus provision if you can take these people out of their workload?
Well, there's no question at the moment of scaling back Job Centre Plus provision, because unemployment is continuing to increase. So there is a continuing need out there for that support at Job Centre Plus. And of course, for the young people we're talking about, they will spend the first 6 months of their time that they're unemployed effectively being helped by Job Centre Plus. Okay. And it's at the point when Job Centre Plus is unable to, after 6 months, when they've not got them into work, that they would then go to the provider.
You also spoke to David Willetts.
Well, what we're going to do is refocus trade again, really along the lines we set out in our green paper before. And our belief is that, you know, that trade again should be focused particularly on young people who are the worst victims of the recession. And although it is desirable to support training for people in the workforce during the depths of recession, when there's such an acute problem with unemployment, it's right to try to refocus it on apprenticeships and pre-apprenticeship training places.
Okay, so it will still exist, the training
place, yes.
But
yes.
Will it be part of this Get Britain Working Scheme and it will
exactly.
Help the young people?
Yeah, and it will be, well, Train to Gain will carry on, but we will refocus it particularly on apprenticeships and training places.
So you also spoke to Theresa May about the Equality Bill.
Yes, I did. I asked her specifically about a clause in the Equality Bill which states that from 2013 employers could be forced to report their gender pay gaps. I asked her if she would look to keep this if the Conservatives came into power, And she said no, she would rather employers were only forced to report their gender pay gap if they lose an equal pay claim at tribunal.
Here's what she had to say.
What I'll say is, I think I can't say what we would do what we come if we were to come into power until we see what the position is going to be. And that will depend on the progress of the Equality Bill, which is obviously going through Parliament at the moment. We don't know, in timing terms, that may get caught up just before the general election. So it's not quite clear what shape that bill would come into effect if it does come into effect before the general election. But certainly we are putting forward our own proposals within the Equality Bill and trying to persuade the government to take up what we're proposing rather than the proposals that they've put in.
And that would be for if you're found guilty at a tribunal? Then
if you're found guilty at a tribunal, then you would be required to have a mandatory pay audit.
Okay, so if you did have the option, you wouldn't want the mandatory pay audits for all from 2013?
We think that our way forward is the preferable way forward.
You can see a full conference roundup on personneltoday.com. John, you're at an event this week where the CIPD and BlackRock, the pension financial specialists, launched their findings into some auto-enrolment research.
Yeah, that's right, Tara. Yeah, they've been looking into state of play as far as auto-enrolment is concerned. As listeners will be aware, or hopefully will be aware, auto-enrolment comes in 2012. This is especially important for large and medium-sized employers. So these are people who employ upwards of 250 employees who'll have to offer auto-enrolment to employees. Now, as we're getting ever closer to 2012, it's emerging that HR is going to have quite an important role to play in this, even if they're not aware of it yet. And this came up at the presentation of the research. Steve Rumbles, who's head of defined contribution pensions at BlackRock, stressed that HR departments, really from now onwards, should be educating and informing employees about their pension choices. But he did say they needed to distinguish between giving information and advice, because clearly offering financial advice is something that HR departments should steer well clear of. Also present at this event was the CIPD's chief reward advisor, Charles Cotton, who agrees with Rumbles, no surprise there, that employers really need to be educating staff now and over the next 18 months or so on the importance of saving into a pension scheme. And they said that employers should be looking into various initiatives, for example, providing interactive online tools, which will give employees the information on how much they need to save and so on. He also said that employers should consider subsidising the cost of giving expert advice on pensions to employees who may have to or may consider auto-enrolling. As regards the research itself, talked to 81 employers and 840 private sector employees. Some of the headline figures are that just one in four, 25% of the employees surveyed knew how much they should be saving for a comfortable retirement, and 56% said they were worried they will not have enough. Fewer than half had reviewed their contribution levels in the past 2 years, while 47% said they were resigned to postponing their retirement and working longer than they had planned. Now, this ties in with other research that we've seen recently, which indicates that around a third of employees over 50 reckon they'll have to work 4 to 9 years longer than they had planned. And I think what we're going to see is a lot more on this coming out over the coming months as we get ever closer to 2012.
Thank you, John. In the latest Outlook video, expert HRs David Shepherd and Joe Stubbs took a look at the potential employment law implications of the first Conservative government since 1997.
The Conservatives are very, very clear. They do not believe that competence for social and employment legislation should rest with the European Union. They think that that should be repatriated to national governments, and the UK government should have sole prerogative to implement legislation on employment and social policy. What chances would a possible future David Cameron government have to bring that state of affairs about?
Well, it wouldn't be impossible, but what you have to remember is that in order to do that, they would require the agreement of all the other member states. So unlikely, I think, at least initially.
Okay, they could withdraw from the European Union.
They could do that, yes, but again, that's probably an unlikely thing to happen.
They haven't said they want to do that.
No.
You can see that video in full on experthr.co.uk. Well, that's it from this week's podcast. Thanks for listening. Remember to go online to check the latest news and views from the HR community at hrspace.co.uk. That's hrspace.co.uk. Until next week, goodbye.